When I was in college, I didn't have a lot of money. Probably doesn't surprise anybody who's ever been in college. And in that time, I didn't have a car because I couldn't afford gas and I couldn't afford insurance. So getting a job and having employment was rather difficult. I was always pretty grateful for the events on campus that provided food. You know the key with students, if you feed them, they will come. There's a great Bible study on campus. It was called BURP. What that stood for was Bible Readers, Pizza Eaters. I was both, so I thought it was perfect for me. Now, it only happened once a week, and so my stomach was still grumbling. You see, my pantry was filled maybe a couple times a semester with a trip to Price Club. Some of you remember that, Costco now. My dad would pay for it, and I would have, towards the end, some wish sandwiches. You know what that is? Two pieces of bread, and you wish there was something in between. Things were not good. A friend of mine told me about a job that a number of the other students were having on off of campus, and it sounded wonderful to me. It was a four-hour shift in the evening, and it wasn't too far away, and they fed you every time you worked, and all you had to do was talk to people on the phone. Where do I sign up? This was the perfect job. Sure, I don't really like the phone very much, but I could get a ride, and I can get fed. So I asked a little bit about it. Later that week, my friend who was working there brought me along, and I didn't ask too many questions as I had, you know, visions of pepperoni dancing in my head. But I came along, and I was figuring there would be some sort of an interview process or some way in which I would get hired, but really all they wanted was my name, my address, and my phone number, and that was it. Looking back, that should have been my first clue. Anyways, I was welcomed into the call center, and I was given a headset, was plugged into a computer, and I was handed a script, and away I went. And I had no idea what to do. I had no training to do it, and the calls were incessant. You see, I was strapped to a computer making those robocalls. You know those ones that you get that you ignore all the time? Now, back in the day, these would always come during dinner time because everybody would be gathered around at the dinner table and the phone would ring. Boy, that would make my dad so unhappy. And when he found out that I would be doing it, oh, it would be worse. But I was that guy. As soon as someone on the other end would hang up and was often preceded with some unpleasantries, the computer would dial another call. There was no rest. It was some sort of a property thing about a timeshare. I don't really remember it very much, but it was awful. My belly was empty. My anxiety was rising. And after call, I was ready to cry. About 90 minutes into this hell on earth, I was finally given a break. And I went to an adjacent room, and there were a few boxes of cold, stale pizza. Of course, my eyes lit up. It was fantastic. I grabbed about four pieces of pizza and walked out the door and kept walking until I got back to school. It took me about 90 minutes to walk home, and I never looked back. I never asked to be paid for the time that I was there. You see, I was not a fit for that position. I was not shaped to do that, and it was not a place I wanted to be. It's that proverbial square peg trying to fit in the round hole. As hard as you want to try and jam that piece, it's the wrong place for your shape. I was the wrong shape for that place. Shape and place, when they come together, it's beautiful. And it's the key to serving passionately. That's really our theme for today, is serving passionately. And how can you, in your shape and in your place, serve passionately? All of our readings for this morning kind of reveal a little bit of this to us, and I want to give you a few highlights. If we look at our Old Testament lesson, Isaiah's words on the second page, a few lines down, Isaiah writes, "He," meaning God, "shaped the earth and all that comes from it." He shaped the earth and all that comes from it. And it brings us back to the garden. as the Lord was creating heaven and earth, all of the animals, and then God gets his hands dirty in the mud, and he forms for himself humanity, and he breathes into it the breath of life. And God formed and shaped humanity for a particular purpose and a particular place. Same was true for Isaiah, who wrote the words. God gave him a particular purpose and shape and place in which God's power and provision would be displayed. He did it for John the Baptist in our gospel reading for today. John the Baptist was shaped and placed in a particular time and space for a reason. And he's done the same for you. We look at our second lesson. Paul opens his letter to the church in Corinth. He reminds them, through Jesus Christ, you have become rich in every way, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Our message about Christ has been verified among you. Therefore, you don't lack any gift as you wait eagerly for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. Not only has God shaped us, he has provided everything that we need. You don't lack any gift. In Christ, we have become heirs of salvation. Every good and perfect gift is ours. How does this play out? We just need to look at our gospel lesson. John the Baptist, after he baptizes his cousin Jesus, he sees him the next day, and what does he do? He points and says, look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was why John was shaped and placed where he was, to point others to the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. John was perfectly shaped and divinely placed in time and space to do God's work, to point to the Messiah. And so have you. And what do we see next in John's gospel? We see that great encounter between some of John's disciples and Jesus as they start following. And once again, John says, look, this is the Lamb of God. And they begin to follow. Andrew was one of those who began to follow. And then he goes home and he tells his brother Simon, we found the Messiah. So he says, look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus called those to follow him. And from the words of one mouth to another mouth to another mouth, from generation to generation, at some point you heard the same thing. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God has called you to do the same. So all you got to do is find your shape and know your place, right? Pretty easy. Amen, we're done. Well, perhaps it's not quite that easy. So how do you find your shape and how do you know your place? In his book titled Shape, Eric Ries describes how to uncover your God-given shape. And without going into great detail here, he writes that your shape consists of five particular things, your spiritual gifts, those things given to you by God to serve your neighbor, your heart, those things that excite you, get you up in the morning, keep you motivated, your abilities, the talents that God has given you, mental and physical, your personality, how God has wired you to view the world and through which you interact with others, and your experiences, those things, good or bad, that have made you into the person that you are today. If you want to dive deeper into this, let me know. I've got a whole online course you can take to do this, but more than just your shape, you need to know your place. What do I mean by your place? Your place is your position. Many might refer to it as your vocation. What do you do? Could be a parent or employee, a boss, a student, a child, a grandparent. To your location, where God has physically placed you, your neighborhood, your family, your role as a citizen in society. Third, your area of influence. Those people who listen to you or follow you or do what you say. Your circumstances, the reason you are where you are, what you are doing, and who you can influence. And your endeavors, what you do with your time, your hobbies, your clubs, your activities, going to the gym, coaching, Little League, volunteering. But as many of you are maybe feverishly writing or trying to remember all this, just stop for a moment. Because perhaps we put the cart before the horse. Perhaps we've gotten ahead of ourselves. All this talk about your shape and your place might give the wrong impression. I have not been called here to give you a spiritual self-help talk. I've not been called here to help you try to find a better days ahead in the things that you do. It wouldn't do any good anyway. The truth is, we are all misshapen by sin. We've been twisted and turned in ways that take us far from what God had intended. And it's by our fault, our own most grievous fault. In thought, word, and deed, we fall short of the glory of God. Not just once in a while, but every day, every moment, in every way. If you're worried, you don't know your shape, and you can't find your place, but you continue to struggle and to push a square peg into a round hole and try to find the next best quick fix, to find the next 12 steps to make me a better Christian, throw it all out the window. It's really not the point. The more you work, the more frustrated you get. And doing this only puts us on the path of destruction, not on the highway of righteousness. The truth that we find in Scripture is that your shape and your place find meaning and value in another shape and another place. Or I should say, another's shape and another's place. It's at the cross. The mess of sin, yours and mine, is nailed with Christ, buried in the earth, destroyed by the open tomb forever. For only Jesus was the right shape. He was the perfect shape to be the Messiah. John saw it, gave witness. Look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Only Jesus was perfectly placed in time and in space to take the pain of sin, the frustration of you doing the work from you. Salvation is a job you cannot do. There's no quick fix. There's no way in which you can do it, but it's already been done. It's not what you do or how you struggle that can never justify your shape or your place or even yourself in front of the throne. Serving passionately, knowing your shape and your place, comes only at the intersection of this shape and its place. The shape is the Savior. The place is the cross. And when this shape finds its place, it fits. Just as it was intended to be. The shape of the Savior and the place of the cross come together in the perfect moment. And in this intersection, salvation is secured, peace is provided. Christ's passionate service for you has been revealed in the pages of the Bible. It's been revealed as someone at one point pointed to Jesus for you. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This revelation is what the season of Epiphany is all about. Remember, Epiphany means revelation or manifestation. As this truth is made manifest in us, we hold on to what Paul wrote. Hear it again. Through Christ Jesus, you have become rich in every way, in speech and in knowledge of every kind. Our message about Christ has been verified among you. Therefore, you don't lack any gift as you wait eagerly for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. It's at the intersection of shape and place where we are given everything. The intersection of Christ and the cross, we lack nothing. At this place, your sin is forgiven. The passionate servants of Christ intersects with us as he shapes us and he places us and he forms us and transforms us where he wants to be. It happened through the word which goes into your ears. It happens through water which claims you as his own. It happens with his body and blood that feed us. We've been shaped. Remember what Isaiah said? He shaped the earth and all that comes from it. This intersection of shape and place helps us to move forward. And only when we know the shape and place of the Savior can we move forward with our own shape, in our own place, knowing that we've been formed by the hands of the Master. We've been placed perfectly where we should be for that particular time so that God's glory may be displayed through us. You see, God works through stuff. Usually we say God works through means. He works through the word that is spoken, through the water that is poured, through bread and in wine, and through the witness of one another. And through this stuff, God calls and God sends. Like the disciples, you too have been called. Called by water and word. Called by Christ's shape as the Redeemer of the world to do exactly what John did, to point others. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. No matter where that might be, no matter how God might have shaped you, that's what he's called us to do. To serve passionately is to do what John the Baptist did. Use your shape, all those ways in which God has formed you, and your place, all those ways in which God has positioned you, to point to the Savior. Now, it's not always about knocking on a door and asking people about Jesus. If you're an engineer and you're making airplanes, make the best darn airplane that you can, because at some point I'm going to get on one, and I want to make for sure that it flies to where I need to go. Luther says, if you make shoes, make the best shoes that you can to be a blessing to your neighbors. In fact, Luther one time said, changing a diaper is a divine work. No matter what you do, no matter where you do it, you are called to use your shape in that particular place to be a blessing to your neighbor. See, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. At this intersection of shape and place, your words become Christ's words to others. Your hands become Christ's hands to others. Your feet become his feet to forgive and to free. In words on a page that are spoken to your heart, in water that washes away every sin ever committed, in wine and in bread which literally bring you back from the dead, the shape of Christ flows through you to others. That's serving passionately, the intersection of shape and place for others. Don't get bogged down in the details. What did Paul say? You don't lack any gift. Put your faith in the sure and certain hope that in this place, the shape of the Savior comes to you. It comes to you as you hear the words proclaimed. It comes to you in your hands, his very body and blood broken and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you know that you are perfectly positioned to use your own God-given shape and place to serve your neighbor, to display God's glory, and to say, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's serving passionately. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the passionate service of your Son, our Savior. Lord, for those times we have put the cart before the horse and have tried to go our own way, we ask for forgiveness. For those times, Lord, where we have struggled on our own trying to justify our standing before you, Lord, we thank you for justifying us on account of Christ alone. Lord, now we ask not for riches or fame, or for people to know our name, but we ask for discernment and wisdom so that we might discover our shape and find our place to serve our neighbor. In your name we pray. Amen.